with the folks from the Port of New Orleans because of the critical role that they play in the economy of not only the state of Louisiana, but obviously the region here, the greater New Orleans region. A lot of very important projects going on. And today we are joined by Port NOLA Vice President of Cargo Development, Amanda Coates, and Paige Carter from the Louisiana Economic Development. She's the Chief Business Development Officer there. Folks, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell. It's so good to be here. It's such a privilege to discuss our local maritime activities along with Paige at LED. And Paige, I'm sure, wants to say thank you as well.
Absolutely, Amanda, Newell, thanks for having us. Thrilled to be with you all today to share a lot of the momentum and excitement that we're seeing here in the great state of Louisiana.
So you guys collaborate on a number of different things. So why don't we just start with the state of the state. What is the assessment of Louisiana's economic momentum, and how has this partnership played an important role in that?
Absolutely. So the state of Louisiana is seeing winds and excitement that we've truly never seen at the caliber in which we've never seen it. And most importantly, even in areas that we've never seen it. And so under the leadership and the vision of Governor Landry, we've seen over $63 billion choose the state of Louisiana for its next investment. This includes places like Richland Parish, where we're seeing $10 billion from Meta coming into a community that's never seen such investment and creating really the jobs of the future for that area at 500 new jobs, all the way to activity that we're seeing within our existing industries, like Cajun Industries, a long-term community citizen and real strong corporate partner and backbone for the state of Louisiana, expanding its presence all the way into New Iberia. So it's a really phenomenal time to see new companies choosing Louisiana, but even more exciting to see the cultivation and stewardship of our current companies that really make the backbone of the state of Louisiana as strong as it is.
Amanda?
Yeah, the partnership between LED and Louisiana ports, of course, including the Port of New Orleans, is essential. Our strategies must align. Our teams have worked closely together to foster those synergies, really to accelerate the economic momentum that we have today. We're looking forward to the future, advancing our future in meaningful ways that positively sends ripples of prosperity through generations to come. The Port of New Orleans acts as a vital engine for the state, facilitating trade and attracting businesses to our region. The collaboration with LED has really led to strategic initiatives that enhance that infrastructure, improve our logistics, enhance those existing manufacturers, and attracting new businesses to, create family-supporting jobs, from shipping and manufacturing to tourism to technology, and that allows us all to thrive as a state ecosystem.
I guess in both cases, Amanda, you with the port, and obviously Paige with LED, y'all kind of look at things even at the global level, right? Because they have a significant impact, especially for the port. I'm curious, I guess LED, y'all have the same outlook there as well.
Absolutely. We constantly look at our work as how do we fuel and feed the world? How do we ensure that Louisiana-made products and services are really getting the ability to be exported across to global markets? And the Port of New Orleans and LED, we work closely to make sure and make that case for Louisiana, not just as a location, but as a gateway to global markets. Together, like Amanda said, we've identified these high-impact industries that benefit from port access, and aligning our incentive strategies, our workforce solutions to really make those deals happen, because ultimately Louisiana is and should be the best opportunity for any business to succeed in the U.S.
And it's amazing, Amanda, how much, different products. My wife's family was in the cold storage business, and we used to ship chickens, hot dogs, all kinds of things internationally. People were really surprised as to how much product actually moved through this port in a global way, not just to the United States, and as it related to exports from here. And, you know, I think we even have a greater amount of imports through here, right?
So actually, on our break bulk side, we are importing more cargo than we are exporting. And on the containerized side, and on the containerized side, we have more exports than imports. So exports is, heavy in New Orleans. And as Paige mentioned, we are feeding the world. And so we do see many exports, anything from chicken to beef, and we're also importing avocados and blueberries and fresh produce, essentially feeding our communities, and that goes into schools. And so we do see quite a bit of temperature-controlled cargo that's moving in and out of the Port of New Orleans, and that has been, you know, a focus of the industry, is continuing that growth. It has slowed somewhat a little bit in terms of infrastructure, building out cold storage facilities. Most recently, some, you know, tariff impacts, but, you know, overall, we will continue to see global markets growing. And the first thing that, people do when their, you know, when their economies grow is they eat better. And so we have to continue providing efficient logistics for those countries to be able to receive the exports that are produced here in the United States.
Interestingly, though, just kind of curious in the short term, because some of the tariff deals that have been struck are a guaranteed purchase of agricultural products from the United States in huge numbers. How does that impact you guys?
You know, I think that the impacts are temporary, is what we see. But overall, at the end of the day, the United States is producing so much agriculture, and about 60% of the nation's agriculture is moving through Louisiana ports. And so we see it, you know, as a positive commitment, and that will continue to fuel, you know, ports like the Port of South Louisiana, also the Port of New Orleans, and other ports who are exporting grains and, you know, agricultural items.
To you, Paige Carter with Louisiana Economic Development. She's the Chief Business Development Officer there. What's next for you guys in this collaborative effort? Can you give us some examples of things that y'all are thinking about? Are there things that are changing? And does AI influence any of this?
Absolutely. I think AI is something that we at the department look at its influence and intertwined nature throughout everything that we do. And so whether that's modernizing the local paper mill, or maybe modernizing and using AI through our ports for, you know, better quantitative logistics. And we look at that consistently. But I would say what's next for Louisiana is really establishing ourselves as that global gateway and that global location of choice, so that we can continue to, like I said, fuel and feed the world at higher capacities, and that we can continue to see Louisiana be the choice for companies across the world that are looking for that U.S. solution, that we be serving them with the competitive advantages that we have. Importantly, we just launched earlier this spring a new strategic plan. And when you look at that plan, we're hyper-focusing on 7 priority sectors, but ultimately at providing a level of excellence to Louisiana citizens, ensuring that they have high-paying and ever-growing wages that they can really be proud of, that we can see thriving regions that are continually capitalizing on new opportunities and growing and innovating into the future, and that we can provide an ease of doing business for those that have been in Louisiana, have been betting on Louisiana for generations. We want to continue to serve them the best that we possibly can and continue to improve that while also recruiting in future industries.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, because we do have headwinds here, right? I mean, you know, we've had out-migration, greater than in-migration, a little bit. That's slowing down, which is good. But the trade-offs have not been real positive, and it's going to take these base hits and doubles, you know, so to use the baseball analogy, Because there are not many times where you get to hit home runs, right? And it's chip away at these challenges a little bit at a time. And, you know, and with that, we can pivot to the lit, because the lit is one of those that could be like a triple, in using the baseball analogy, once we're able to get it up and running. So let's talk about the Louisiana International Terminal and where that stands at the present time.
Absolutely, yeah, and I would say that,
go ahead,
Amanda, you go first. We're both excited on that.
Yep, we are very passionate, very excited about the project. So just to, you know, reverse a little bit and set the stage to talk about how we arrived here. So over two decades ago, the vision for the port and the future was widely known that developing a container terminal south of the Crescent City Connection would be imperative to staying competitive and a player in the global trade market of goods moving by container. You know, sites were identified, navigational approvals guided the way to the site that we purchased at mile marker 83 on the Mississippi River in Violet, Louisiana, located in St. Bernard Parish, which is, of course, part of our jurisdiction. And this terminal will really allow Louisiana's manufacturers and importers to be served through direct port calls, allowing for us to continue to evolve with the vessel sizes that have been growing since the birth of containerization in the 70s, it really just continues to allow us to be a player in the market, and it is ours to lose. And so we are laser focused on LIT and working with LED and seeing how that we can, you know, attract new businesses to support that. We're, you know, have a strategic kind of plan together. We've been laser focused here at the port for many years on growing distribution and imports to really support those exporters.
So,
and Amanda really hits the nail on the head, but I would even say that, you know, the baseball analogy, and Lit has the opportunity to be a home run for us. This is a generational investment truly in Louisiana's future, and it represents our state's commitment at becoming the most robust and innovative and dynamic economy in the Southeast. So we're all hands on deck, really looking forward to seeing that come to fruition.
So I had someone who represents the opposition to this from St. Bernard, Mr. DeFada, on the show the other day. He was not very happy with the way the interview went down. Because I'm a big proponent of this project, and I've made no bones about it. I've done my homework. I kind of understand the nuances. This is a difficult project. There's a multitude of activities that are moving at their own parallel paths. You know, and the opposition keeps saying that these are claims that are being made about what's going to be done. But, you know, and I challenged him on that term, saying that really these are more than claims. If you look at the road, I think y'all are looking at three different options at the present time. You can't get a permit until you get everything nailed down as to an option. Each option has challenges. Some are going to be easily overcome, others maybe not so much. But that's the process that you see play out everywhere, that when you have a project of this size, right?
Yeah. So we, you know, this project, like many other major projects, it doesn't come without challenges. And the challenges are opportunities to change the way that we look at things, to change design. We've actually changed our design from very early on. We listened to the community. We listened to the feedback. And that allows us to, you know, drive the narrative forward and how we communicate with community, local authorities, and those who, you know, frankly want to have a seat at the table in having those conversations and what they want to see in a container terminal downriver. It's important for us to work together so that we see that to fruition. Otherwise, we lose as a state. And, you know, 1 in 5 jobs are tied to maritime activities. This is something that absolutely, you know, must happen for us to stay in the global market and for us to continue to thrive as a state in the, you know, global sector of trade and commerce. And so I think that, yeah, you know, it does come with some challenges, but no challenges that can't be overcome with very strategic alignment and thoughtful, you know, decisions that are allowing for cohesiveness of a terminal of community of, you know, the states winning through economic impact. So see it as a positive. I mean, I'll have to go back and listen to the opposition.
Because we love have you back
providing
on.
Solutions.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there's a lot of misinformation. It's not as though St. Bernard is not used to port-related activities, right? They have a lot of port-related activities throughout.
Oh yeah, port-related activities and refineries
So it was kind of interesting that it was almost as if they were a virgin in that regard. It's like, I don't understand. You have all kinds of stuff going on your port. I mean, that's very similar in nature. So it's going to be interesting.
Yes.
I guess some people just are, opposed to most everything. I don't know. I don't know what the issues are. But
St. Bernard Port is a major existing port that's there, and they're moving cargo daily. And then the Violet Docks have been there for many years. And, positive for the state. It's ours to lose.
Right, but these are not claims. I mean, y'all are actually moving. And the point I was trying to make with them is that, it's not a claim. They're actually moving, you know, as it related to the road, where he goes, they don't have any permits. No, because they're not at that point in the process yet.
Right, exactly. You know, so the RPC has identified the lanes, and so the next step will be, you know, moving forward with identifying the lane the lane of choice. And then we move forward in the process of permitting and
acquisition and everything else that goes along. It's not any different than any other port that's been developed in the country. I mean, they've all gone through the same process. And what we know is they've all achieved a level of success in an attempt to erode away the amount of business that we do here in the Port of New Orleans. And the Port of St. Bernard,
right.
And the Port of South Louisiana. And then the list goes on and on and on, because it's all about that competitive environment that we find ourselves in. Now, we can sit on status quo and do nothing, and we know there's going to be one thing that's going to be guaranteed. We will be less than. Fair?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So
I couldn't agree more with the status quo statement, and I think that any bold vision will come with opposition. The most important thing we collectively as Team Louisiana can do is ensure that we're communicating effectively with our local communities and really engaging to hear concerns and be able to, your point about misinformation and disinformation is true, and ensuring that when community members and individuals are seeking information that they have sound sources to quickly access.
No doubt about it, for sure. Amanda Coates and Paige Carter, thank you so much for joining us today. Truly appreciate the insight and the time, and you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you for having us, Newell. We appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Newell.
We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text.